Everybody's sitting down, looking comfortable, so I want to welcome you. Thanks for coming. First, I'd like to point out one of our new board members is Lawrence Hawkins from Springdale. Lawrence, welcome. Welcome to our group here. Looking forward to working with you. Thanks for joining us. And I think in calling the meeting to order, I'd like to have a review of the minutes and see if anybody would like to propose we approve the minutes as submitted.
Make a motion to approve.
Been moved. Second, anybody?
Second.
Been seconded. Any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Next on the agenda is a election of officers. Roger, that's okay. We didn't need a voice vote on the minutes. I don't think we've done it. Is the election of officers. I was just talking to Roger here, and this group was formed in 2002, and I started as chairman in 2002, and we're in 2016, and I think that's enough, guys. You know, I think it's time to turn over the reins to somebody else, and I've enjoyed working here, and we'll continue to do so for a while, but I think it's time in order to step down. I think things are in good shape for the organization, and besides that, I think we have an excellent vice chairman who I propose to step up as chairman. So I would like to propose Gwen McFarland and make a motion that we move for Gwen McFarland to be chairman of the Convention Facilities Authority. May I have a second on that motion? Mr. Brim, second it. Now, is there any discussion? I'd like to point out that when we were looking for a vice chairman, because we had one resign, that Gwen did offer and expressed an interest, and she's been a very, very loyal supporter and active supporter. Stepped in as chairperson a few times, even once when I totally forgot about the meeting. So I appreciate everything she's done in helping us along here.
Thank you.
And she's pretty nice.
Thanks, Cliff.
Okay. If there's no more discussion, I'd like to. Do we have a voice vote on that, Roger?
Do you want to do the chairman and the vice chairman together, or we really didn't take a vote on the chairman?
Well,
it was moved and seconded. But.
Okay, been moved and seconded for that. All those in favor, or do we do that by voice?
We can do it by voice.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. So be it, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Now I'll continue for the election of officers here on this. For vice chairperson, in recognizing some of the work that's been done and the interest and attendance and so forth, I think that we owe Paul Brim an opportunity to step up as vice chair of this organization, and would like to make that motion and look for a second for that motion.
I'll second.
Been seconded for Paul Brim. Yeah. Any discussion on this? Okay, all those in favor, Paul Brim being vice chairman, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So approved. Congratulations, Paul.
Thank you. He's very enthusiastic.
You get to vote on that, too. Okay.
I'll slip that 20 to you later.
One more as treasurer, since Paul has served as treasurer. I have talked to certain people and think it's appropriate. Would like to make the motion that Jim Downton be treasurer of this organization. And I think Jim has also been a loyal member here. And at this time, I'd like if anybody else want to recommend anybody else for this particular position or propose that would be also possible, but I would like to make a motion that we appoint Jim Downton as treasurer of the CFA.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Roger, do we do a voice on that?
We can, yes.
Are we supposed to or not?
That's fine.
Silent saying something.
Okay, we did it. We did it. Okay.
Okay.
One of the benefits of having a new chairperson is that I get to turn the meeting over to Gwen, the new chairperson, to conduct the rest of the meeting. But I think before doing that, Rick, I'd like to thank you especially. This has been a great lunch today.
Yeah.
I don't know who to thank, but if you pass this on, I really think we approve it. And I especially like the vegetarian bacon that went on the salad, too. That was very good today.
It's a new product.
Here, here.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Gwen, welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nice to
and,
have.
And, you know, Dan's going to be a hard act to follow. He's just been fabulous, and he's just so informative about so many things that date all the way back to 2002. And I've leaned on him quite a few times, just tell me what this means. Tell me what was going on then, you know, and he just is a great historian. So he's brought us a long way, and I hope to be able to continue moving us forward. And I know that he's going to continue enjoying his times down and his flights to Florida. He came up to Florida just for our meeting, and that says a lot. So thank you for that. And also thank you to all the new officers that's come on board as well. So we'll start with the resolution.
It seems like we should have a watch or something to give Dan.
Well, I was going to propose that at our next that we have something special, because this man has given how many years?
That's a long time in service. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of free lunches, isn't it?
Let me rethink that. Maybe you should be giving us back something.
I'll turn over all my salary to you.
I do believe that there should be some way that we thank you and have and celebrate outside of a meeting or maybe in a meeting. I don't know what we can legally do. But I'd like to explore that with Lisa and see how we can do that.
And Roger.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah.
You did say legally.
Legal,
right?
That's right.
That's right.
And I see him thinking. Look at him.
I am.
Those wheels are turning.
Way ahead of here.
I know.
Make it cheap. We've blown our budget on the lunch today.
Well, I'll get with you, Lisa, and then we'll send some correspondence out to everyone and make sure that you're in town as well.
Thank you.
Or we could go down to Florida.
Yeah, there you go.
Down there. Yeah. Wow, you're talking.
She was better at it.
That's absolutely.
As vice chair, I support that idea.
That might even make the papers.
Oh, yes, but I'm sure it will. All righty, so the best is yet to come when we look at how we're going to celebrate the time that Dan has put in, because that's awesome what you've done. Okay, next on the agenda we have our resolutions. And the first resolution is a resolution appointing the secretary, assistant treasurer, and member of the oversight committee. This resolution is something that we do annually. And currently and the decision is made between the city of Cincinnati and the Board of Commissioners. Am I correct there?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
So we have secretary, let me see, which is Sheila Hill Christian of the city of Cincinnati staff. And then we have Karen Alder, the city of Cincinnati staff. And then we have, no, she's the treasurer.
Right. Yeah, treasurer. Jeff Aludo is the secretary.
Okay.
Sheila Hill is... Christian is the assistant secretary, and Karen Alder would be the assistant treasurer.
Assistant treasurer. And as I said, this is something that we do annually. So, shall we just, Roger?
Yeah, you
over?
Know, if...
Or do you have any comments you want to make?
If it's been moved and seconded, we'll call the roll, and I think only because we keep a running record of these resolutions. So...
Okay.
I'll call a vote on that.
Need a motion?
We do need a motion.
Need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
And we Mr. Bishop made the motion, and we need a second. Mr. Brim seconded the motion.
Okay, we'll take the roll on it, unless there's any further discussion. Hearing no further discussion, Mr. Butler? Mr. Downton?
Yes.
Mr. Hawkins?
Yes.
Mr. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Griff is not present. Mr. Tawonka?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Hill? And Ms. McFarland?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. We're moving right along. And the next resolution is a resolution appropriating service payments and authorizing the expenditure of such funds. And this is something that's ongoing as well. We do it annually, and again, this dates back to May 15, 2002, when this resolution initially was adopted. Do you have anything you want to say about this resolution?
No, just, you know, actually, I think probably more for the benefit of the newer members that every year we have to appropriate money so that certain expenses can be paid. There's the director's insurance that is paid for annually. There's an audit that's conducted that has to be paid for annually. So with regard to that, we need funds that are appropriated by the public body to pay those expenses. And this appropriation, this resolution is to authorize the payment of those obligations when they occur.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Bishop made the motion.
Second.
Mr. Hawkins seconded. Roll call.
No further comments. Take the roll. Mr. Butler? Mr. Downton?
Yes.
Mr. Hawkins?
Yes.
Mr. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Griff? Mr. Zawonka?
Yes.
Mr. Brim?
Yes.
Mr. Hill? Ms. McFarland?
Yes.
Okay.
The next resolution is resolution appropriating taxes and authorizing the expenditure of such funds. And as I said, this is an annual resolution that we review, and it looks at the excise tax and how that those excise tax are appropriated. And right now it looks like the total is, what, $12 million?
We are appropriating $12 million in the, for the taxes that will be collected in the coming year so that, you know, there's sufficient funds appropriated to have the trustee disperse those funds when that comes around next year.
So moved.
Mr. Bishop made the motion and seconded.
Second.
Downton, seconded.
Any other discussion? We'll take the roll on that. Mr. Butler? Mr. Downton?
Yes.
Mr. Hawkins?
Yes.
Mr. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. not here. Mr. Zawonka?
Yes.
Mr. Brim?
Yes.
Mr. Hill? Yes. Mr. McFarland?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chairwoman, if I could, this may be an appropriate time. That supplementary supplemental resolution should be in everyone's packets. Perhaps if I could just call your attention to the last, I think it was the last item in your packets. There is a, I got one. Thank you. It's resolution appropriating additional 2015 taxes and authorizing the expenditure of such funds. We were noticing when we received the final information on the amount of tax collection for 2015 and the amount that we're going to authorize the trustee to distribute in this meeting, that the amount that we appropriated for 2015 was short of the amount we collected, which is actually the better way to have it than
That's
the opposite.
Good,
so you're right. So I think with the All-Star Game and some other things, we collected more in occupancy taxes last year than we had actually appropriated. So this resolution adjusts or supplements the appropriation legislation from 2015 with this number of 3.6, so the new number, the total appropriation would be in the $12 million range, I believe. but in order to make the formal disbursement, or in order to recommend that the trustee disperse these dollars, we really should have the correct amount of appropriation. So we recommend that the board pass this resolution as well.
Motion by Mr. Bishop. We need a second.
Second.
I just have one question.
Yes.
So the when you notice the shortage or the difference in mm-hmm. the numbers, is that going to be reflected in our next quarterly report?
It's really the actual amount being collected is in fact reflected in your report. This is really just the administrative authorization to spend.
Okay.
So it's not reflective of an actual dollar amount that you're seeing on a report. It's just the authorization for the organization to spend the amount that did come in.
Okay.
It's really just a cleanup at the end of the year to make sure that we have appropriated an amount that encompasses what we actually collected.
Okay.
Right. I mean, last year, the board appropriated $9 million. The actual receipts were more than that. In order to tell the trustee to disperse the funds that have come in, we need an appropriation that covers all of the funds that came in. And that's
right.
Why this additional appropriation is taking place.
All right.
Otherwise, we'd sit here and wouldn't move.
Otherwise, there'd be $3 million sitting in the trustee's hands that mm-hmm. couldn't be dispersed.
Okay.
Great. I think that explanation is critical.
There's our trip to Florida.
I know.
and maybe to put a finer point on it, one of the other things in the packet is a letter that goes, I think from myself. It's not in the packet? Okay. Well, one of the things that one of the next actions that we will do is there's a letter of instruction to the trustee. And it says, trustee, you now have X amount in your account. We want this distributed back to the city and the county. That's where the city gets their residual funds. The county gets its residual funds. A portion of it goes to Sharonville. All of you have been familiar with the waterfall and how the money goes. Without that additional appropriation, I don't have the authority to tell the trustee to make this distribution.
Okay.
So that's really that's kind of where the rubber hits the road.
Okay. So is there any way, I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. since that's not in our packet, is there any way that can be added to our packet or sent out to us?
Yeah, actually, we have a copy of the I've got a copy of the distribution letter right here. Do we have any other copies of this?
Not, not with us right now.
Okay.
Can you see that?
Email? Yeah, we can email
it.
There'll
be one from the city as
well. Okay.
We'll sign.
Okay. Yeah. I think that keeps the paper trail clear,
sure.
clean, and transparent as well. Okay. All right.
Roll call on that. Mr. Bishop.
Yes.
Mr. Zawonka.
Yes.
Mr. Hawkins.
Yes.
Mr. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Brim.
Yes.
Mr. Downton.
Yes.
Mr. Hill's not here. Mr. Butler's not here. Mr. Cripps not here. Ms. McFarland.
Yes.
Okay.
Next, it comes that time as well to look at our fourth quarter financial report. And in our packet, there is a letter from Sue Tilton to Karen Alder. Karen is our deputy finance director. So who is Karen or Sheila? Who's going to read this?
I will.
Okay.
So if you refer to the page that looks like this, it's the ledger of all the payments, and look at the fourth column over, you get this total actual city amount collected for 2015 of $3.2 million. And then if you go over to the second from the last column, the actual county collection for the year of $8,246,000. So for a total of about $11.4 million that we collected. So we're hopeful that we will collect even a little bit more next year, this coming year. That's why we've increased that appropriation to $12 million. So if you kind of look at all the years, we have been increasing steadily, which is a very good sign. And then on the other page, this is just a reconciliation of the funds in the disbursement account, all the money that comes in from contributions from the city and the county that used to come in that way, the city and the county hotel tax and what's been paid for all the bonds over the years, and that it all balances. And this reconciles with the bank statements that we received from the Bank of New York. And then the last page is a CFS expense report, which shows in 2015 what was paid. You authorized $65,000 in expenditures. We paid the state auditor $328. Paid for the officer's liability insurance of $41,930. I'm at the bottom under 2015. And then the financial auditor's fees were $11,562 for a total of $53,820. We are looking at the liability insurance because it's been a while since we looked at where that's placed and making sure that we've got, you know, a good quote for that. So I have our insurance person at the city kind of going out to see if how our pricing is on that. By no means going to reduce any of the insurance, you know, the levels, but just trying to make sure we've got a good premium still on that. So we may be able to reduce that some or maybe not, but we should have enough with budgeting for $65,000 moving forward. I also have the little fund flow chart that I probably should have handed out prior today, and I don't know that I have enough for everybody. So I'll let you take one and pass it to the mm-hmm. person on either side of you. Yeah.
I can't even.
Do you like to make it complicated so that we can understand?
No, you're not alone, huh?
You guys might want to share. You know what, I need to take one of those. I need to see what I'm looking at here.
You don't have every number on the sheet memorized? Yeah.
So this is, as we discussed last, when we made the adjustments where the city and the county were no longer putting in the million and the $250,000 at the top, we had a lot of discussion around this flow chart, and this is kind of our first year with it flowing this way. So at the top, you in the yellow boxes, you see the city's total tax receipts, Hamilton County's receipts, and then interest earned on the distribution account. So the county's money amount, portion of that goes to the county directly, which is in the blue. The remainder goes into the distribution account. So the city's money, the interest, and 5 million of the county's collections go into the distribution account. Then in the oval, where yellow oval where it says debt service, that's the debt service on the existing debt that we have for the CFA. And then the balance between the distribution account and the debt service is our residual revenues. And these are the revenues that go to both the city and the county. And those are split on the percentage of how they were collected in the yellow boxes. So the city's residual fund is $898,905. The first thing that gets paid is operation and maintenance for the Duke Energy Center of $230,000 per the agreement. The remainder then goes to the city residual fund, gets split between the convention center, the mural payment, and the CVB. So, and then to the right side, we have the county's distribution. The county receives 63% of what's left over for $1,530,569, plus the $3 million that they get directly, which totals to $4,705,504. And per the new agreement, the city then contributes $250,000 directly to the county. It doesn't go through the CFA, it goes directly to the county to help the county meet its obligations in the light blue. And then by agreement, that's how the money is dispersed below. I'm not gonna read all those amounts to you. So does anybody have any questions on that? Got a pretty good, healthy.
How many years is this mural payment gonna be?
The mural payment is for three years, Jeff?
4 years.
Four years, because you multiply four times this 93 plus 93, that gives you 700.
It's 4 years with no penalty for prepayment either.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And under the county residual fund, the 4.7 million share of million of everything, the other projects are the situations where money goes back to the commissioners, Jeff can go to the commissioners, then can allocate funds to projects that need to go through.
Yes, so the way that's set up is so there's a There's a grant program that the board had, the commissioners had set up, that is shown the $250,000 number. It's actually the commissioners have allocated typically $300,000, anything. So those grants can be allocated to the community on a annual cycle. Then there's also what's listed as other projects, would be other things that come up at other times of the year, when there may be a use consistent with the Ohio Revised Code where the board may the commissioners may say we want to fund this. And we have conversations with regarding projects and communities all throughout the year in terms of different uses for those dollars. So that would be where those would come from, Lawrence.
So the other projects money does come from the county residual fund, even though my copy has no line drawn from it.
I just noticed I don't know what happened to the line.
Oh.
Free floating.
It does. Yes.
Yes, it does.
Can Jeff, question.
Mm-hmm.
Can that amount, the other project's amount, can that amount carry over? It doesn't necessarily have to be spent.
It can carry over. In fact, there is a carryover balance right now that this would add to. I'm not certain what that number is, though. We can get that out to the board, though. And the idea has been that to utilize these dollars in a strategic way, if at all possible, to use it for things that, first of all, it has to be within the scope of the Ohio Revised Code, but to use these dollars in a way that has a fundamental strategic impact on the broader convention and visitor infrastructure of the county. Not for very small little things, but to use it strategically. The other thing that this board should be aware of, and for Lawrence's benefit as well, being new, is that there's always been discussion, and it is within the scope of the Ohio Revised Code to use that money for debt reduction as well. So to the degree a balance continues to accumulate there, we constantly have the option, or continually have the option, to defease existing debt on the Duke Energy Convention Center. And as we move forward in time and other capital possibilities start coming up out of the woodwork, whether it's on this center, Sharonville, what have you, that paying off debt is certainly something that we should, as someone from the administration, I would say, always want to keep in as an option on the table.
Any other questions?
No, but I think this is a very nice chart.
I like the flow chart. It's just very missing good. The one line.
It makes it much easier to understand.
Absolutely. Yeah. Follow it much better. And the print size is readable.
As long as we don't get any more boxes, we'll be able to read it.
Thanks, Karen. We need to vote on it. Next, we're going to get an update on the improvements here at the Duke Energy. Rick?
Linda's handed out a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the small print. I'll apologize ahead of time. this whole project started back in 2014. We had the dollars for a while, but I think that to be as brief as possible, and certainly we'll answer any questions that anyone has. Over on the left side of the project, I've also put the original dollars that we asked for in those projects. So we've had some overages and some things that have come in quite beneficial to us as far as the pricing. Blue, those projects are essentially completed. The Harper mural they were in this week to do some punch list items, but the number won't change, and it's a completed project. And anyone would like to go look at that project, if you haven't already seen it, it's just a great art. It's been discovered from the 1987's expansion, so it's wonderful. It's a great enhancement to the center. We did an artworks project that's completed. I'm happy to show you that. Majority of that project is also on the second level of the center towards 5th and Elm Street. It's a beautiful project. And then we have, I'm sorry, I should not have put the hard surfaces in blue not completed, that $125,000 number is firm, but that has not been done. That purchase order has been issued for that. The exhibit hall restrooms, all the design is completed on that, and we will be issuing, we hope very shortly, a RFP and a bid process for that project, which is going to renovate and enhance all the restrooms in our exhibit halls. And you'll see one of the reasons that we want to do that, we'll see if we do walk across the Sky Bridge, which is a great way to peek into our exhibit hall. We have Kroger has moved one of their meetings that has been in the Grand Ballroom. It's downstairs now, and it's the entire exhibit hall. So we have quite often corporate business and business that is national associations that utilize the exhibit hall. And our biggest client is Educational Testing Systems, the College Board. And they're here for over 3 weeks, and they use those restrooms. And we just needed to upgrade those restrooms. It was a pretty important project 3 or 4 years ago. It still is today, and we can't wait to get it done. We should have that. We think we'll be able to start that project in August if we get the RFP out on the street this month and have it completed by November. A big challenge for us is always then how do we fit the projects in with all the other events? That's always a challenge for us. We want to be busy, but we're going to have to do some juggling to make sure that we get these projects completed. The Reachmaster lift is here. It's a great addition for our facility. It helps us with windows. Helps us with tall ceilings and roof places that we haven't been able to get to without spending a ton of money to get done and to service those areas. The building audits, we originally had a number in there that after we sat down with everyone, the city and the architect, we put a lot more money into the building audits. Those are, for the most part, all underway, and we should have them all completed by, I would think, by June 1st. We're uncovering lots of things to add to our capital list when we do these audits, unfortunately. The building envelope came up with a project list of right under $1 million. But we have, you know, we've certainly been in operation for almost 10 years. Our team has, and we'll just take one project at a time and see if we can get some of these things completed. Some of those things on the building envelope would save us some dollars, but at the same time, they're not critical to the operation. There's no safety, life safety issues we'll obviously have to address. Right now, we don't have any, knock on wood, life safety issues except for some sprinklers in the basement that are, it's about a $50,000 project. It's already on our capital, city capital list, and it should be completed within this year. We've kind of, because of the some of the escalated costs, gone away from the 5th Street public area bathroom. That'll be a project that we'll add in our city budgets going forward and try to get that done. We're still working on the 5th and Elm Cafe remodel renovation. We're working on design right now for that. I've kind of penciled in some more dollars into the HVAC upgrade / replacements. That would be the area there where we'd take critical building audit information and try and get those projects completed within the CFA dollars. A long time ago, we determined that the outdoor deck was a great thing to have, but not a must-have. We don't need it. We'd love to have it, but so we eliminated that project. And the escalators, we had budgeted originally $1.1 million. The escalators are at the front of the building. There's four escalators. They're the shorter, smaller of the escalators in our facility. We budgeted a lot more money originally because we wanted to replace them completely. After we got some feedback from several vendors that said the only way to do that is to bust a hole into the building to bring them in and out and close the building for 8 to 12 weeks, we decided that we would just retrofit them. And we had some great history on that. escalators, the main escalators that go from 1 to 2 in the building along the 5th Avenue or 5th Street corridor or lobby, those escalators were retrofitted in 2005, and they have given us, knock on wood again, very little problem, and we completely retrofitted them. The exact same thing as what we're doing to those four escalators at the front of the building. So we should get, I think, we're going on year 10 with that retrofit, year 11. Had no problem with those main escalators that are used, the most utilized escalators in the building. We think we'll get 10 to 15 years of life added on to the escalators at the front of the building and not spend as much money as we thought we might have to. So that's a great project for us. The security camera project is done. That was actually phase one of the security project. We are implementing phase two, which will add more cameras and more areas, and more technology to those cameras in the near future. Probably, we're hoping to have a lot of that done by NAACP in July. That's a city. That additional phase two project is a city capital item. The Wi-Fi upgrade is completely done. We used to be able to get 2,500 to 3,500 contiguous users for Wi-Fi usage in the building, in the entire building, and we now have 15,000 to 16,000 users that can be in the building. So we feel like we've not had anyone come close to that number yet. We'll just kind of wait and see when we start exceeding that number eventually in the future. For most business and national associations that we do, you've got 2,000 to 4,000 people in the building. If they have three or four or five devices, then we should be in great shape going forward. I know that we did this for the All-Star Game, had no issues at all with Wi-Fi in the building. The Kroger Leadership Summit, no problems with Wi-Fi in the building at all. So that project is good. That's one of those projects that we do have an exclusive provider for that, but more and more it's difficult to try and drive dollars to that because people's expectations that will be provided. I envision that someday Wi-Fi will be, and bandwidth will be similar to escalators. You're going to have them in the building. So we still make money off of that. I'm not sure what the ROI is on this project, but it's not good ROI. But it is one of those ones where that if you don't have it, then people will absolutely pass you by and not come to your building. So we have to do that. I think Jim and his building and his new building, I think he would absolutely agree with that. It's an ongoing, you have to be current, and you have to be more than current at times. So it's a challenge, but we feel pretty good about the Wi-Fi capacity that we have in our building. We haven't had any issues with some awful big events that have been here since we upgraded. That project was essentially completed right before the All-Star Game. And then we have, I think originally we started in this, project managers and the architects. We started with a budget of about $360,000. We're up to about $470,000 there. And we think there might be some savings in that from the elimination of a couple of these projects. And we're going to meet next week with Cole Russell to discuss that, the city and myself. So we're still at $5 million. We've got a few more projects to do. We haven't got the bids back, obviously, from the restrooms, and that's our next thing. We're not going to proceed with the cafe until we know exactly what the dollars are with those restroom renovations, because that's our prioritization. We'll keep everyone appraised and see how these projects go. I anticipate that we will add back with the city dollars that we have in 17, potentially, with adding a restroom in the lobby space, because we think that that's something that we really need.
So the restrooms kind of get lumped in with the Wi-Fi, right? Something you need.
You got to have.
But no big ROI.
Well, it's interesting, because you could argue the ROI on that, on both of those, with just getting opportunity. And for us, we started, probably 9 years ago, we started doing events that were going upstairs and downstairs. And we now have galas and fundraisers that go upstairs and downstairs. We have two clients that we've had for years that have outgrown the ballroom, and they go, they use the ballroom for a formal dinner, and then they have a after party in Hall C. And it's been, there's definitely ROI in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I've been to some of those, and it's amazing the job that you do here to take care of people.
Yeah, Children's Hospital is the one that first started doing that. Had a discussion with Hartball. We've had love to have more ballroom space, but it's amazing what you can do to exhibit hall to make it look really nice. And I think that, I don't know how Kroger, I don't think Kroger is going to make it look really nice, but there's, we've had some great clients from Pure Romance and Cincinnati Insurance that have made those exhibit halls look pretty fancy.
Let me ask you, because I may have missed this part, because I'm always concerned about security and security cameras. So can you, again, just clarify how you upgraded them, and is there a zoom-in that you can upgrade, and if the lights are down low, do you have a special lens that adjusts to that?
We don't have infrared, but we have, you know, it's funny because 3 or 4 years ago we had a client that something got stolen, and they looked at our cameras and said, well, we can't see anything. So now we do, I don't know that we have, you know, we don't have satellite coverage cameras like, you know, on TV or the movie, but we have cameras now that are very detailed that will, we have a lot more tilt, zoom cameras where you can maneuver them, and you can actually direct them and they can keep them in the same area. So we have a lot, probably 200 to 300% better than we were just with this $200,000 than we were before. We had some really outdated stuff. We had some stuff that was, we lost some stuff because we just didn't have the stuff that would record the way it needed to record. So all our stuff is now solid state.
Oh, good.
So it's a great advantage for us, and it's something that, you know, it's amazing. You know, years ago, I did a big expansion in a building in Houston, and we didn't have anything to cover the exhibit hall floor. Now I think everyone has exhibit hall floors. We even have clients ask us for cameras in meeting rooms, which we've never had cameras in these meeting rooms before. So that may be phase three, where we put cameras in meeting rooms. We put cameras in all the elevators.
Permanent or on demand?
Well, we'll be able to do on demand. The next phase will be able to give us some Wi-Fi capabilities with some cameras. So we'll be able to move them around and put them where we want to. We don't have to return.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does our system of providing capital for you give you a good outlook as far as keeping up with some of these changing requirements?
No, Dan, I don't know that we can keep up. It's good. I mean, the $5 million that we received is spectacular. We'll know a lot more when these audits are done. We got some good news on an electrical audit the other day, and that our system is in pretty good shape. We still have some more audits to complete on that. I'm frankly, a lot of the air handlers are really old in this building, and I'm scared to death of the plumbing. Because the first part of our building was built in 67, so yeah. All that cast iron is, we're coming up to year 50.
Yeah, and Jeff here, and you talked about possible defeasance with extra funds and so forth like that. I really think we have to give priority to what some of the needs are to be competitive in this field. It's very important, because that's what did us in the last convention center.
I don't want to get ahead of Dan, but there were some discussions. We've had some discussion with architects on future planning potentially, and a couple of the future plans would take care of like 85% of our building envelope issues, because we would have to do a new facade wherever, if we did expand in certain areas. So that we're looking at all those things right now, and then potentially, plumbing might segment into that potential if we ever get to the expansion thing. And so we're looking at, it's good to have these audits done. Timing-wise, these are really good times for us to have these done. But we have, you know, I think the fire system is in good shape. But as soon as I say that, then the board will fail, and it's expensive. It's like $400,000 to replace that. So
I think that's one of the things we ought to put in future, perhaps, or maybe even a subcommittee for planning. Because we do have these excess funds, too, and we want to make sure we don't get caught short.
That's good.
Maybe
good
a couple of committee members, along with Rick, could lay this out and where these funds could come from.
Well, I think that the other thing that we'll do is once these audits are complete, we'll upgrade our 10-year plan and be able to have much more accurate indication of what projects, how they have to be phased if we have the available funds.
Dan, I don't know if you get any feedback or not from clients coming in here, but from what I've seen in here, we're very competitive in what we offer as far as facilities.
I mean, it's a beautiful facility. It's well-run. It's good. We can just use more space.
Not counting the hotels, but here we have
it. Hotels are good with one exception.
Yeah.
Well, I think for us to be ahead of the game and be progressive, I agree. I think a subcommittee would be a great committee to form. Is anyone interested in serving on that subcommittee in this room? And how many, I guess I'm looking at, what type of report would you have available the time when we meet with the first subcommittee? Yes.
I'd be like,
okay. Who's taking notes?
We've got it okay. Here, so we're good.
Okay.
I'll be happy to work with Rick or something.
Yeah, we could meet on a quarterly basis and talk about projects and talk about capital. And we do that monthly with the city. So
you need a loud voice, really. Yeah.
And I'll serve on it.
We feel pretty good about it. I mean, we just, you know, I think when we first got here in 2006, we had this new renovation. We had this new, you know, center. That's what, I mean, I characterize that in the industry trade magazines, is that we have a new center. But even that new 2006 is 10 years old now. So we're going to replace the ballroom in the next year, depending on event schedules. The ballroom carpet and all the meeting room carpet will be replaced also. So we keep up with those type projects. It's the projects where someone says, the envelope of the building needs to be replaced because you're losing some money utility-wise every year because of that. Some other issues with pressurization of the building, and it's all those engineers that are way over my head. But there's, you know, the plumbing really worries me in that front part of the building. There's one bathroom that's down there that I'm not spending a whole lot of money on as compared to the other three major exhibit hall bathrooms, because that bathroom 1967. Underneath the floor is 1967 cast iron. So I anticipate that we want to utilize that going forward in the future. That whole bathroom will have to be, that whole pipeline, that whole plumbing system will have to be replaced, which is a monumental task.
How's the facility measured against industry standards? Is it just the audits, or is there another process in which go through annually or every 5 years or so to see where the facility is in comparison to other conventions around the country?
Well, we have some square footage things we do with utilities. We have some square footage things we do with costs in general with other centers. We do a survey every year with PricewaterhouseCoopers that compares other centers. But that's a broad-based survey that measures convention centers 100,000 to 500,000 square feet. Obviously, we're 200,000 square feet, so it's not as accurate indoors, dependable as we'd like it to be. We do have, these audits. We've done audits from time to time. The audits that we're doing now are probably the most thorough audits we've done since we've been here in the 10 years. And there's one audit that's an HVAC audit that's $250,000. It's half of the audit. And the reason for that is that, in 2008, 1967, and then again in 87, and then again in 2006, most of the air handlers, well, most, 98% of them are in the ceiling. And some of them are in spaces where we can hardly get to them. So if they ever do fail, we just have to build another one, potentially have to build something next to it or something. But we've got into spaces and kind of got the can opener and made some replacements in some of those air handlers. The roof is in good shape, but the roof is coming up to, it's 10 years, and they're all 20-year roofs, the 30-year roofs. So we feel like some of those things are, they're just starting to go. To go back to your answer directly, almost all of our competitors have newer buildings than we do, with the exception of Cleveland is kind of the same boat. I'm sorry, Columbus is the same boat we are. They've added to theirs, and they have a new section, they have an old section.
That's true.
Louisville's going to completely replace their center and renovate it from the bottom to the top. Cleveland is a brand new center, Indy's Indy. We don't really compete against Indy a whole lot, but Pittsburgh is, that's a whole new center from like 2005 or four. We compare, I think we get clients, we get folks that come in here all the time, and as far as keeping the things fresh and keeping the amenities up, we're in great shape. All these meeting rooms, they'll get new carpet and they'll get new fabric within the next 2 years, new baseboards, and probably new paint within the next year. So those are the things that we do with just regular capital dollars. Those aren't huge things. If there's an expansion, that's where we would take advantage of some downtime potentially and do some major plumbing and basically back of house things, underground things, that would give us another 25 to 30 years. So I think this center is in really good shape. There's nothing other than the plumbing issue that really worries me.
Well, I think that when the subcommittee has the first meeting, those are things that we can continue to look at and make recommendations so that we can stay ahead of the game. And the other thing, I'm just going to make sure that we keep up to date with Sharonville as well. I mean, I know Sharonville's new, but it's not that new, because by the time you've completed it, it's time to start all over again. Things start aging, and maybe we need to... Jim, how are we doing in Sharonville as far as?
We have a similar situation with a beautiful expansion, but the original facility, we still have original equipment, air handlers, those types of things. But we have a 5, 10, 15-year plan. The city of Sharonville puts about 3% of our gross revenues into an account, which has been averaging about $50,000 to $60,000 a year for capital, which isn't enough.
That's not enough.
We also, this was the last supplement, identified a $50,000 amount from the county in the waterfall. I think it was a four or five year commitment. But we have some significant projects coming up with the hotel completion, parking. Some significant projects. So, yeah, I think it'll be important.
I think we should include both. I agree. I agree. Are you on that subcommittee?
I'll be on it.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. All right. Thanks for that report. Is there any other business? I think the other business was the resolution, wasn't it? The additional resolution.
We had that, but I think there was also Dan Lincoln from the CVB was going to give a report well.
Yes,
so
we need that report.
Before Dan jumps into his report, while we're talking about renovations, do you want me to give an update on the murals?
Yes.
Between Rick and I, we might be able to handle this. Joel Koopman, the city's facility manager, he's taken on another temporary role, so he's very busy right now, couldn't make it. Evidently, when the airport started this move of the murals, they realized that the move was going to be a lot more difficult than they had anticipated. So the deadline that they had us under to accept the murals has been extended. I think they haven't figured out now how they're going to do it, and I guess it's not been made public, but I think...
There's 3 weekends in April.
April, okay.
And we've talked to clients, so it'll be, if it's not public soon, it'll be public.
But the facility manager said that has been a plus on our side because it's given them more time to bid the project and make sure that, and that we are well within the budget that we've put, set for the project. So everything is on track. It's just been delayed a little bit, which really was in our favor for that delay. So
that's good to hear.
Projected for May.
I think that from all indications, today is the 18th, and we've heard that the first 3 murals will come on the 2nd of April, and then there'll be 3. Remember if it's the second weekend again or if it's the third weekend. I know the last weekend is the last move. I'm confused on there's 9 that are coming, and I'm confused. I know that the 29, I think that's the last weekend of April. The last 3 will come. So, but there's some work to be done after that. So I would say, yeah, Lee, you're probably accurate. It's they'll be unveiled. We'll do a big reception. We'll do a celebration of the murals being relocated, and that'll probably happen. Depending on everyone's schedule, late May, early June. We have our biggest client in house at that time frame, and that may push it farther back, which is what we had with we had event issues with Charles River that pushed farther back.
All the bills.
Are there any issues as far as accepting on this end, as far as construction?
No, we're right on time.
Our contractor
here, the city's contractor that we work with closely, is completely in front of this and has done a great job. It's the same contractor that we utilized for the Harper mural, and they did a fantastic job for us. So we're in great shape. And the murals, one of the delays, as Karen said, was that they did not have, to everyone's satisfaction, when they started taking these apart, the support on the murals. So they've added some additional things to make them easier to move. So I know that we have some folks out there in the community that would like them eventually someday to be moved somewhere else. I think that the spot that we're putting in is a fantastic spot. But I think that if we had to move them again, this what they're doing at the airport at their expense, thank you, CBG, is going to help us if we ever wanted to do that again and relocate them. And we don't know. Maybe they will be relocated. I mean, my hope was that timing-wise, we would have had a big expansion of the center and been able to have the architects design to put them into the new expansion. But I'm being really...
Mm-hmm. The CFA is not paying for any of this.
Okay.
Yes.
We're not. We're out of this. The city pays
correct.
All the bills.
It's through the residual dollars.
Yeah.
We loan some dollars through the $93,000.
Yeah. But that.
I would say the CFA is paying that portion.
No. We're paying so much over the years. We're not paying anything to the movers or anybody doing this installation.
No, it's a city contract.
It's a city contract, yeah. I just want to make sure we understand that,
And it's truly the city and the county paying for the project through the residual dollars given to it by the CFA.
Right.
So it's
That's the only part, but there's no move. When they're delivered here, the airport gets them to our door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then the rest is on us.
Yeah, thank you.
We've had a typical outdoor project that we've had some street closures and sidewalk closure, but really for the most part there's been very little if no impact at all on any of the events. We were a little worried because the original first delivery of the first three that were coming over was the auto show Saturday. And that didn't happen, and we were like, oh, okay, we're good with that. So we don't think that the April events are affected. The last week in April is potentially there could be some conflict, but we've been in communication with the marathon.
Thanks for the update. More is yet to come, so I'm excited about that. Dan, you have a report?
Yes, we'll be brief. I know we're running up against our time. Just a brief update on the future study. You know, phase one was completed about the end of last year. We began phase two with the city and the county, and they charged us to do a phase two that looked at specifically cost engineering studies. All those are close to being completed, including, like I said, traffic studies, potential impacts of the expansion. Where would it go? We looked at all options going south and west. We narrowed down to about two or three options. All those options, we have architectural designs. We found out last night that we should have the final design by next week, end of next week. Priority of 100,000 square foot of additional exhibit space, because as we talked about, the 06 is primarily a major renovation, beautiful job, but we really did do a full expansion per se. So the consultant recommended 100,000 square feet to get us back into a robust competitive pack. Additional meeting space and so potential for additional ballroom space. The total project would come in probably around about 185 million, give or take. And Rick and I were just talking about making sure that we look at, when we do the funding package, how much of the plumbing and the things that we could just talk about, we will need that, because that would be an ideal time. So all the studies, engineering, architecture, all that stuff, we finished up this coming week. The funding is also coming, funding options are coming close to being completed. I think about 2 or 3 weeks. The complexity of this is doing it without any coming out of the general fund, or raising taxes, trying to do it with reducing taxes, possibly staying. But we're very close on that. There's a small gap that we're trying to find a few options to fill that. It's also complex with the hotel because it's all contingent on the hotel. Because if we can get the hotel changed or fixed, then they take it for the convention. We don't take it for the convention. It made more sense if I could show all this team over a few weeks later. So on the hotel side of the equation, that also is about $200 million project. That capital stack is pretty much done with a couple of small tweaks. There is not a deal with Singapore yet. We had a big attempt over the holidays that we thought was going to work. That took about a month to make. We ended up not wanting to do that to the ground. That went off. So we're working with the developer who's in conversations with them. Unfortunately, last week we had a little road bump where they changed out their president of the U.S., their U.S. property president. He's going to be coming here probably around the end of April. And there is a deal on the table. They have expressed interest in that deal. And if they take that deal, it would allow us to take that hotel down and put a new hotel. But we have a developer lined up to do that. If they don't do that deal, that puts back to square one. And when I say square one, without getting too deep into our alternatives, I think we would have to go to a tougher option that would include the city and county board. Everybody is at the table, the city and county board, JCPC. The cooperation and collaboration between all the different entities within the family. So I would say we will have the expansion options and recommendations wrapped up here, including funding options. And Thursday, the hotel is closed, but we've got to get a deal. And that deal facilitates the thing. So after 10 years of this with these guys, we take a motion to stop and make sure. They're like mutually important. You keep getting close and they pull it away.
And that deal goes through, what, 2 years? So out?
There's a 2 year
and then we get that down and up.
Then they take it in 24. So we completely without him around. Nice problem to have, but we've been through this scenario before where we go back and we look at, you know, what needs to be impacted, what we can absorb and do existing capacity. Some of it obviously goes across the
river.
It would affect our business, but I think that, you know, the CVB and the center has done a really good job of, you know, we play shuffle the hotels all the time with the existing clients that we have. We have a completely eliminated use of that hotel, but in a lot of instances, some clients won't go to that hotel, so it's already done for us.
Yeah.
And we push some other clients to go outside that hotel, and they have smaller blocks, so that's been an effort on our behalf. So it would impact us, but not to be an impact.
And no one, I see it as a key direction for everything else.
Yep.
No question.
I think it suffices to say we are the only city in the country that has this Anquita Hotel problem.
It's a shame it's gotten this far.
Yeah, the only other city that was Kansas City with an area that's being since addressed with a brand new 800 room, a high-end being built right next to it. So we are truly the only.
The unique issue is obviously for us, unfortunately, they own the property and the land. And that's why we look to ground this up. If your asset is, it's an Asian thing. We don't sell our asset. So if the land is your asset, it's possible. But if you have the air rights, you put a beautiful four-star area.
Would you be talking already to brands?
Yes.
That would jump in and help too?
Yes. We have the brand, we have the developer, it's all lined up.
Oh, yeah.
We just got to get to it. And again, the cover, the deal's on the table. It is a deal that they expressed interest in.
And Dan, if I could, just real quick, with not to shift gears, kind of same church, different pew, and not to put Jim on the spot, but you know, we have a hotel issue that's driving a problem with this center. You have a similar issue up in the north, Jim. You got a new hotel going next to the center, but you're, for lack of a better term, headquarter hotel opportunity across the street is really kind of a microcosm of the issue that you guys are dealing with downtown. I forget what the current name of that hotel is. If it, what's that? Just hotel? Yeah. Okay.
Hotel motel.
Yeah. I just wanted to, while we're on that same conversation, anything, any news on that particular facility?
This hotel, it's been like four with us, but you know, I'm very cautious, you know, optimistic as a stretch. It's an ownership issue.
Mm-hmm.
The new hotel that we're building will be a great support for our center, but we need 300 plus rooms, and we need a hotel with 525. We still have great partners with the Fairfield Hotel, which is across the street. They live in, to an extent, they're a good partner, they just don't have the national brand recognition for our customers. They only have 500 rooms. So, yeah, the hotel across the street has been a huge challenge for us. They've lost three or four flags in the last 4 years. They've lost all credibility and service and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Well, initially, I had thought that you were going to buy that one across the street.
I think the city wishes they would have.
Yeah.
Because it was, and I think it actually sold an option back in 2009.
Well, I guess my only point was just going to be, you know, this organization, city and county, have attempted to be as supportive of we can of,
yes,
of this effort. But, you know, certainly want to do the same thing with the north as well. So to the degree that the northern communities are talking about, you know, how to address that situation, please keep us in the loop because we'd want to be as supportive as we can. So just in terms of trying to arrange the deal, as Dan had said, so.
So hopefully by the next meeting, we will have the ability to roll out what the options are with the presentation. Obviously, the city would kind of pay for
Well, Dan, I'm glad you brought up the next meeting. Normally, when we meet this time of the month or this time of the year, we meet again in September or August or September. And there seems like there's a lot going on. Do you all think that we can move and have our next meeting in September, or do we need to perhaps have a meeting before September? We are required to have, what, two a year.
No, let's meet August, September. I think it's back to school. August might be a
right
time.
And it's the summer as well. So, and I'm all, and Dan, you know, I like to kind of project ahead of time so we can clear our calendars and make sure that we'll be able to meet. So there happens to be, if I look right, and I don't want to fire up my phone again. I think we have Fridays in the month of September. The first one is the one after the holidays. I learned not to look at that one. So that leaves us with the 9th, 16th, 23rd, and the 30th is toward the end of the month. So what about like that Friday the 16th?
September?
September the 16th.
I will be out of town, but I can. I mean, somebody else can always give my report.
Well, let's go to the 23rd then. 23rd look okay? Everyone? Okay. We'll schedule our next meeting for September the 23rd, 12 noon. How about, could we meet out in Sharonville?
Yeah, and I'm showing a CVB executive committee on that day.
Is on the 23rd? You moved it for this. You had to move that meeting for this meeting, didn't you?
You said the 23rd.
The 23rd, right.
23rd.
Could piggyback those two, or?
So then if that's the case, we need to meet here then. Mm-hmm. So that you can have time to get to your other meeting, which is.
Okay. Yeah, fine.
Okay. We'll get the appropriate information out to everyone so you can mark your calendars. We're going to be here, right?
Yeah, either here or at the, or yeah, this is probably the easiest for
this
everybody.
This will be the easiest. Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you. You all have a great summer. Thanks for coming today. I mean, we had a great attendance, and I like this healthy discussion, a really good discussion. And we've made a lot of progress, and we're moving forward. I think it's a great idea with the subcommittee for future planning. And I'd like to entertain a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We don't have to do that.
No, we don't.
Roll call. Thanks, everyone.
That's good seeing you.
Be careful about committing too much.
I think I saw you down the line, didn't I?
They asked us.
On the board? Down that way. Down there for dinner when you think of family and friends.
Let's don't do the climate stuff. Because I think we'll spend too much time going back and forth. We've got to solve it. We've got to make priorities.
And that's what that's
Yeah.
So if we have Sharon in the meeting, we'll do this first and then we'll look at that.
Yeah. We've got this resolved first.
Okay.
Quinn. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes.
I did not bring my letter.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good to see you.